This was Caleb for 40 years. How on earth can he still wholly follow God through 40 years when it wasn't even his fault and he didn't even want to be there? So we're going to be looking at what he went through. Honest, this guy just blesses me so much. Sometimes when we're going through difficulty, we have hard questions. I remember Habakkuk, he had hard questions for God. He said, why do you allow this, God? And so Habakkuk, he needed revelation, and he asked God, just speak to me, just tell me. And this is what God said. Okay, I'll tell you. Go and stand over there, write down the answer, but the answer will come right at the end. It's my timetable, it's not yours. Because through often processes and difficulties and trials, instead of white knuckling, it's learning. God, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn from you? Because God refines us during these times, and he lets us know how great and powerful he is, because he's sovereign over everything. Can you remember Elijah, when he goes, I think he goes to the widow who's got a really a sick child. And even Elijah, as he's talking to God, and he's saying, why are you allowing this for this woman? This is awful. So even the prophets, they kind of question God. Why are you allowing this? What are you doing through these times? And so the privilege of faith is getting us to a real place of believing. Listen to what somebody said when they went through a very deep trial. This trial was the best thing that ever happened to me. I just didn't see it at the time. This is what he said to Habakkuk. I'll tell you, but I'm not going to say anything today. Wow. This is a bit like Job. I think I might have mentioned this before, but I did a big study on Job, and I got a lot from Job as a character. And I want us to learn again from Caleb. But just as a reminder, this is what he said to Job. I think it was in chapter 40. Do you know, Job, who I am? Because Job, all that he'd gone through, we were kind of getting up to God and moaning and groaning and belly aching. To be honest, he had every right. And Job, in 40 chapters, had 300 questions that he'd never questioned God before. When you and I go through tough times, we question, and it's okay to question. But God never answered one of Job's questions apart from answering Job by his presence. Job, all you need to know is I'm here, and I'm with you in this, and I'm going to strengthen you in this, and your faith is going to rise, and you're going to hit these giants, and you're going to hit these walls. And this is what I believe really happened to Caleb. I've gone through some things which I never thought I'd actually get through. I've even tried to go round them. I've even tried to go through it. God said, just a minute. Just wait. Because this giant is going to fall. And what I love about Caleb is he hung on to every promise of God. Listen to this. This is the attitude of the 10 spies. They've been and tasted the land. Remember when they brought out the fruit? They come back. They've got proof of exactly what God had said the land would be like. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God had already told them about the land, that it were rich, there were plenty there. Yeah, there were giants there. Yeah, there were walls there. Yeah, the people were stronger, a lot stronger than them. But this is the land that I've given you. Not I'm going to give you, but I have given you. This is your land. So just by faith and obedience, I want you to go and take this land. You know, sometimes, folks, in the Christian life, we have to learn to be aggressive. Kind of taking heaven by storm. Does that make any sense? In other words, I am having this. And really rising in faith and strength to stand against every giant and against every difficulty and everything that we go through. And sometimes we have to be really aggressive that no, I am not having this. I am not thinking that. I'm going to kick despair into touch. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. Sometimes you and I have to learn to be aggressive. and really step out by faith. Caleb wouldn't allow disappointment, discouragement, despair. I believe he kind of spiritually backhanded it. I'm not having that in my life. Not when God's promised this. This is what I love about it. Could anybody tell me, even from last week, if you remember, what did his name mean? Can you remember? A vicious dog. It's not very godly. But I believe he was like a little Jack Russell, kind of snapping at everything that got in between him and his God. He wasn't having none of it. This is what I love about Caleb. Again, he was a bit of a fighter spiritually. Listen to the attitude of the 10 spies. We've been in the land, we've tasted of it. Yeah, we know, we saw it all, and we can't do it. We can't do it. God says, you can. I've already given it to you. This is what the 10 spies said. We've lost before we start. We're not going to get by this one. And God says to him, but in my eyes, you already have. Faith in God, not fear of giants. And Caleb rose to the challenge of a young man. He was in a crisis to face, and he faced it, and he came through it. And then this is the big one. Because he stood out in the middle of everybody else. He was the voice of him and Joshua. And now, because of other people rebelling against God, if you remember these 10 spies, they kind of brought a murmuring and a backbiting and blaming God for all kinds of stuff that he doesn't care. And all they want to do is kind of go back to Egypt. And so these 10 spies with a very negative attitude affected nearly 2 million people. Did that bother Caleb? No. Because he really, really stood firm. These are the best years of his life. This is the prime of his life. 40 years old. And now he can't go into his heart's desire. He can't go to where God is telling him to go because of other people. So now he has to turn from all that, and he has to wander for 40 years. And we're going to look just very, very briefly at what it actually cost him. What did he go through for those 40 years? And can he continue to live as an overcomer? Can he stand the test? Can he maintain the level of being victorious as he did at Kadesh Barnea? So here we go. First one, physically. What did he go through for 40 years physically? I just want you to think about this. Put yourself in Caleb's mind. He knows the promises of God. Linda mentioned this. He'd seen God at work in Egypt. He'd gone through all that. Incredible miracles, incredible promises, the presence of God, wow, a twofold deliverance. He'd gone through all that. And here he is, he's hungering for Canaan, he knows he can't go. Now he's turning aside. What's it cost him? What's it going to cost him physically? 40 years just walking around, no incentive, no idea what's going to happen. And he's walking around for 40 years going absolutely nowhere. To me, I would find that really, really difficult. Listen to this. 40 years, 480 months, 1,920 weeks, 13,440 days going nowhere. I don't know what kind of effect that had on Caleb. All I know is when I read about Caleb that he's got Canaan in his mind. He's just living there. He's living on God's promises. So he's kind of in the world, but he's not of it. He's in the desert, but he's not of it. He's kind of living there. That's what's keeping him going. The whole promises of God. The whole presence of God. What about spiritually? What did he go through spiritually? Physically, yeah, 40 days, not going anywhere. No 40 years, just no incentive. Just marching around aimlessly, going absolutely nowhere. Spiritually, the pull down, the bad atmosphere. Where on earth did he go for fellowship and friendship? Who did he pray with? Who did he talk to? Moses? Aaron? Joshua? What about the enemy during this time? Really bringing him down. Really giving him a hard time. You know what the enemy's like sometimes when he tries to turn us against God, because often it seems like God is unfair. Other people backbiting, murmuring, complaining. So easy to have a go at leadership during this time. Constant atmosphere of doom and gloom and feeling depressed, hanging around people who are not really healthy in God. So nearly 2 million people all backbiting and mourning and groaning. Maybe even Caleb forgot what a healthy person looked like. How many funerals did he go to during that 40 years? How many people died during that time? There'll have been funerals every day. He saw God's people spiral down, lost out, grown cold, withered away. These people had chosen not to obey God. And by doing that, they had put God's perfect plan on the boiler for 40 years. And Caleb was part of all that. And then I got to thinking, what about all the inward wrestling? What went off within Caleb? Did he fall out with God? He didn't want to be there. It wasn't his fault. So why should he have to suffer? Maybe you were even angry with the 10 spies. What a stupid, stupid decision that you've made. Why have you rebelled against God? What about self-pity? Really feeling sorry for himself for 40 years when he wanted to live in Canaan. What about even being self-righteous and comparing his sold-out life to all the other people? Maybe even, did he go through times when he got proud? Where he classed himself as better than anybody else? Because really, it wasn't his fault, it was their fault. I know sometimes we can be very good at that. So did he go through times of pride and the blame game, anger, frustration? 40 years. You know, God said that these years were Caleb's waiting years. There are times within our life, folks, when you and I go through things we'll never, never understand. But all I know is that God's at work in us. Remember the life of Joseph, from being a kid, from being the blue-eyed boy. You know his story, being sold by his brothers, went into Egypt, he became a slave, working for Potiphar, got falsely accused for being naughty with Pop's wife, ended up in jail. You know the story well. But what really intrigues me is when Joseph was forgotten. That extra 2 years. Why, God? Why did you allow another 2 years? What were you doing in his life? Sometimes that's us. What are you doing? Have you forgot about me? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you understand? And we now look at Joseph when he came out of jail and he became the second highest, most important man in the nation. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, they tell me that you can interpret dreams. And before this, Joseph was kind of full of himself. But now this is what he said. He said, Pharaoh, it's not me. I can't interpret the dreams. Only God can interpret the dreams. Somewhere in that 2 years, God did something really deep in his life. God did something really, really deep in the life of Caleb. All the things that he went through. And his secret is just this. 6 times out of 10 verses, this is what it says about Caleb. And Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That is Caleb's secret. Nothing would interfere with this relationship with God. He would not allow that. Last year I said, I'm not saying that Caleb's perfect. I'm sure that Caleb had his faults. In fact, I think his biggest strength became one of his biggest weaknesses. And you'll find that as we kind of go in later into his old life. Man of courage, man of conviction. but he would not allow anything to interfere with his walk with God. And he wanted Moses, he wanted any kind of a great leader, he wasn't like Peter or Paul or Moses or Abraham. He was just a common man with an extraordinary faith. I think I said to you last week, and we'll look at this next week, he was the only one who fully drove out the enemy from his land. He would not have the enemy in his land. All the others had to share. Wow, come on, Caleb. What an overcomer. Even through 40 years living like this. But his trust and his faith. He let God's word burn within his life. He never let go of God. He never let go of the promises. Do you know why? Because he tasted it. He'd been in Canaan. He'd been there and he was like, wow. This is what God's promised. I belong to God. God loves me. God said that that's my land, so I'm going to claim that. It's powerful stuff. Because this really speaks to us in who we are in Christ. God's promises burned within him. The light in Caleb's life in 40 years never went out. It never went out. Nothing ever dimmed his light. And this is what I love about God when he's talking about Caleb. My servant Caleb, he constantly followed me. And then it says that God gave to Caleb Hebron. I think I might have said this to you last week. Hebron means fellowship. And this is what Caleb had with God for 40 years in the desert. He had fellowship. Through all that tough time, through all that physical marching, all the temptations, all the things that the enemy threw at him, he couldn't go anywhere, he couldn't run anywhere, he had nowhere to go to, he had no one to speak with, maybe three people to pray with, and he conquered. He won that battle. He got through that. And the lovely thing is, at 85 years old, I can't get over this. To me, I'd think, blimey, Nick, I'd be worn out now, I'd be shattered. I've been nothing left. Just leave me alone. Let me just put my feet up and have a great time. I'm 85 years old. Thank you very much. I think I've done my stint. Not Caleb. He's 85 years old. And this is what he says. He says, give me that mountain. Do you know why? Because I am just as strong now as I was back then. God, I'll tell you something. That makes the hairs of my neck stand up. I am just as strong now as I was 40 years ago. So I'm going to go and I'm going to take what's rightfully mine because God has given it to me. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 14 and we'll just look at verses 10 and 11. It says, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Listen to that first bit there. The Lord has kept me alive. He's done it. He's kept me alive. Ever since the Lord spoke to Moses, and yet I am as strong this day that Moses sent me, as my strength was even then. Even so now, my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb wasn't just kept alive, but he had the same strength. He didn't wither. He didn't grow weak through difficulty. He just let God build faith in his life. And I want to encourage you folks tonight, who we are in Christ, who you and I are in Jesus. And I really believe that God allows you and I to hit walls and to hit giants. So that faith, true faith within us, begins to rise. And we know that in Jesus, we can either get through this or get by it or get over it. Do you know why? Because Jesus has promised. He will always cause you and I to triumph in Christ. And through that process is not to white knuckle and just hold on, kind of. Right, hurry up, God, come on, let me get through this. But Lord, what are you teaching me through? What are we exposing in my life? What do you want me to learn from this? And this is Caleb. In the the middle of rebellion, in the middle of all the mourning and all the groaning and all the negativity, Caleb still wanted to please God. Wow, what a guy. He still wanted to please God. He still wanted to have fellowship with God. He still wanted to listen to his voice. He was aware of God's promises. He was aware of God's presence. And God delighted in him, and Caleb delighted in God. God was his prize. God was his passion. So folks, whatever we're going through, whatever we're going to go through, there's a lovely verse in Romans where it says that you are more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but you're more than a conqueror. Clive Jameson has built me a little bonfire. What do you think to that then? Look at that. I love it, it's great. Last week, I shared with you about the vision that I think maybe two or three people have had of the church being a bonfire. And it's kind of dry, and it's ready, and it's ready to light. I said last week as we were praying in our Sunday morning meeting that when David prayed, something really quite strong came to me. That I believe that this is us as a church. I believe that we're dry and God's going to ignite and he's going to put a flame within us. But what came to me that morning was I look back, and I'm sure you can look back, and I remember building a bonfire with my dad. And I thought it was quite big, because I was just a little tot. I've always been a little tot, really, to be honest. I've stopped growing ages ago. But I remember building a bonfire with my dad, and I'm saying, "Dad, light it, it's ready." And my dad said, "No, there's some more wood to put on it yet. It's going to be a big whopping fire." If you remember last week, I talked about an opportunity for you and I to really fully surrender to God and give him everything. So, I asked Clive, who's a very, very talented guy, and he's made me a little bonfire, that when you and I pray things and we say, "God, I need to give this to you. I want to hand this over to you. What I've been battling for a while," or whatever it is. And when we pray that and we give it to God, it's just a symbolic thing for you to come and just stick another piece on the bonfire. It's a symbolic thing of a prayer that you've made. I'm not talking about tonight. I'm going to leave that there for a few weeks. But I really believe that God won't light this fire until you and I have placed everything upon that altar, that we've given everything to him. Why? Because then God's got all of us. He can have his own way in our lives and within the church. So folks, just tonight, you know what I'm going to ask us to do? I'm going to ask us to pray just before we sing. There's two things. Number one, before you pray for yourself, I want to ask you to pray for somebody else that you know who's in the wilderness and they're going through a tough time. I want to ask you to pray for them and then to pray for yourself if you're going through a tough time. Because God's at work in you. He's accomplishing some great things. So let's pray. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can give to you big problems as well as small problems. You've told us, Lord, in your word to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us to leave them with you, not to bring it back, but to leave it with you, Lord. We thank you, your word tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind, the peace of God that goes well beyond understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for your promises. We know that your promises burned in this man called Caleb. And we want your word, your living word, and by your spirit, to burn within us, Lord. And take us up a notch in our belief, in our faith, to believe what you have promised. So, Father, tonight we thank you for men in your word that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has recorded for us to learn from. And we thank you for such a man who lived such a life. Teach us to live like this, Lord. Teach us to live like this. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.